Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Basket of Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. We'll get back to the Guardians a little bit later in the show. Again, playoff tickets went on sale an hour ago. Should they host the wild card next week? Should they host, which would mean they'd have to win the American League Central. Their magic number there is 3 against the Tigers, so that's a combination of any 3 wins, 3 losses, or some other kind of combination between the Guardians and the Tigers. Like, you know, Guards win 2, they lose 1, boom, you won the Central, right? Even Mr. Math here can figure that one out.
Yep.
You sweep, you win.
Just win.
I hope it doesn't go. Wouldn't that be crazy if it came down to that?
Just win, baby.
I'm also, don't you think it's weird, and this is the last point we'll make on baseball here for a little bit, why did they decide to schedule teams not against their own, like the Central, against their own division? Like, why did they decide that it would be better to have the Tigers and Red Sox play this weekend and have the Guards play the Rangers? Why wouldn't they have done Tigers Guardians this week? Why, or Tiger, either Guardians, Twins, White Sox? You know where I'm going with this?
Yeah. Yeah, you would have thought Royals. That this would have been like, okay, this is Central week.
Yeah, why you wouldn't know? You
have everybody in the, or Division week, I should say.
No, I mean, I'm sure, I don't know if the numbers even match. Do they match up by?
I mean, you could make it work somehow, but we know how the schedule makers go with all this stuff where you have to do the whole, okay, so who's got what going on this date in this building? Okay, who's got ordinances that are going on that we
who's
can't
have? Who's got football at home on who's that got final Sunday? At home. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
It was the reason last week that the
Although
Rays.
Although they don't know the football schedule when they put the baseball schedule out. They don't know next year's football schedule.
I mean, it's the reason why the Rays had to play the night game because the Buccaneers were playing during the day on Sunday. And so the Rays and the Buccaneers couldn't play at the same time.
You know, the bigger part of that is just parking.
Exactly.
Yeah, because they're right next to each other.
So that's the kind of stuff. Like, I get it. You have to put this schedule together having no idea what's going to take place.
Yeah, no, but that they can take care of. You know what I'm saying?
Like, are you saying that you're trying to say Major League Baseball's putting their thumb on the scale?
What? No, what I'm saying
is... We're going down conspiracy theory corner. You got to warn me before we go down conspiracy theory corner.
There's no conspiracy theory on it. It just... Doesn't it make sense to have the Guardians play? And just take your pick. Wouldn't it have made more sense to end the season against a Central Division foe?
Nah, you make it work the best you can. I'm good with it. I am perfectly fine with how they figured this out. I have no qualms with anything.
Yeah, that was one of the... So I was on Michigan Sports Radio, that's called, this morning. So... With Shep. I don't know if you remember. He was one of the voices of the Tigers for a while. Matt Shepard. And we were talking about that, and we were saying, oh, man, wouldn't it have been cool if the Tigers and Guardians played this final weekend? But that was like the only thing that isn't cool about the weekend. Like, we've got the Ryder Cup. We're watching that out of the corner of our eye. Man, I love the Ryder Cup. I'm going to spend 2 minutes on this. That, I mean, it's all the things I think Liv wanted to kind of be, right? Liv tried to take the good things from the Ryder Cup stuff, but it's just the Ryder Cup thing, Liv just didn't work. It just doesn't work.
Well, the minute you add in patriotism, it's always going to mean a little bit more. Like, in the same way the WBC is awesome for anybody that tunes in and watches the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, same thing. I agree.
Anytime you add that patriotism in there, it makes it special. And the fact that you're playing group golf and the fact that you know all these things, if the U.S. can make a putt within 10 feet, I'd feel a little bit better, but my heavens.
I like the Ryder Cup to me does not feel pretentious at all. They're letting drones. They're using drone cameras at this
and
thing.
And drunks.
And they're putting cameras inside the bunker. There's just all these little things about it. And the coverage is crazy. You know, you can follow individual groups now. Mm-hmm. It's not like, I don't know. There's just so many really cool things about it. But I love the Rowdy fans. I'm not going to lie.
It's so much
fun. I love the Rowdy fans. It's not, look, if they're in their backswing, keep your mouth shut. But otherwise, cheer, go crazy, do whatever you want. But I used to get, like, the thing about golf that always drove me nuts were the pretentious players are like, they heard a snap in the back of their backswing because of a camera went off. I'm like, that's the kind of stuff. I'm like, come on, are you serious? Are you serious?
Yeah, it gets a little.
Baseball players, baseball players have baseballs being thrown at them at 100 miles an hour in deafening stadiums, and you can't handle click. That's ridiculous. Just deal with it. So I don't know. We got our. Where are we? Oh, we're getting crushed, man. We're losing 3-0.
The U.S. having a hard time putting. We're living in a world where I'm relying on Patrick Cantlay, and I don't like that world.
Just walk me through this. So is there one, there's one more morning group?
Correct. There's one more morning group right now. The Euros took the first three.
Any chance we go 3-1 here? We're down 3-1?
Possible 3-1. Last I looked, Cantlay and Schauffele were up one on who they were facing, and I can't think of who that is right now because it's not on the screen. But, yeah, there's a chance they could go 3-1. They were up one, but we're currently looking for the ball that got sprayed in the rough.
And what are they? The fans. Are they... two ball this afternoon, or they're playing foursome today? What I can't.
Yeah, today's four ball.
Both. It's two sessions today, though, right?
Correct.
Okay.
It'll be an afternoon.
So we got a chance to bounce back in the afternoon.
Yeah, you're up right? One. Up one on Robert McIntyre and Victor Hovland on the U.S. side at Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay.
I mean, come on, man. You got home course advantage. Take advantage of this. Like, where are you, Yankee fans? I hate you all the time.
Oh they're there. Trust me.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
Are they heckling?
Probably. I mean, that joint looks slammed. Man.
Could you imagine getting into somebody's head here, like they're trying to figure out what club to use, and they're like, man, I can't believe he's using a sand wedge, like out loud, right? Sand wedge? Come on.
Messing with golfers.
Eat it. Stifle the sand wedge. Are you kidding? Look at this guy.
Messing with golfers.
He can't play golf. Pull out your six iron there, dude. You know what you should be doing. I'd love to see that. All right. Let's get to the Browns. Do you think they have any chance Sunday?
This one I feel worse about than I did the Packer game. The Packer game, I had the sense they could win.
I do too.
I
why? Why? A week ago, I sat here and thought the same thing. I'm like, you know what, man? Maybe they win this thing 19-16. Maybe because you know they're not getting to 20. They haven't done it in forever. If the wide receivers suddenly are able to catch everything and, you know, Joe can see stuff downfield a little bit better and the offensive line holds up, then maybe they'll hit 20 for what, the third time in the last 22 games?
The reason I felt that way is that Jim
20
Schwartz,
or more, I should say. Sorry, go ahead.
Against those style offenses like what Matt LaFleur does, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, McVay's evolved a little bit, but you get the general concept I have.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Schwartz is like kryptonite to those offenses.
Yeah.
He just stifles those. The Lions run a hodgepodge of different things. So it's not like you could just prepare for one style of football and then be good to go. The Lions offensive line has been really good, even with the sudden retirement of Frank Ragnow at center. I wonder if the defensive line of the Browns can neutralize that offensive line the same way they did the Packers and just completely, to use a very, very fun word to say, discombobulate that offense the way that they did against the Packers. Like, I wonder if that's the case, that they're able to do it, and the Browns' offense has just been scuffling. I just think Jared Goff has more answers than Jordan Love does. And that's the reason I look at this and go, all right, this one I don't feel as good about as I did the Packers. I gave you how they beat the Packers, and they executed it perfectly. That's how you beat the Packers. You take away Josh Jacobs, you completely neutralize that offensive line, and know darn well that Jordan Love's going to throw at least one to you. Especially if you're going to say, hey, Jordan Love, go beat us. Like, he can do it, but he's also going to throw a pick along the way. So, Jared Goff, there's more answers in that offense. That's why I feel the way that I don't think they can beat the Lions. I think they can play really close, and I think the fact that you're going to be in Ford Field, I think, is also part of that reason. Do you play into that stuff? Do you believe home field advantage in that still exists in sports,
especially football? A little bit. I think it's almost impossible not to have. I think it's impossible for a referee not to have some kind of a emotional stake in what's going on around them when you have 60,000, I'll just play it low, 60,000 plus cheering, and to not feel the energy of a building and understand the psychological momentum going on. I just think, and I don't know that umpires or referees do it on purpose, but I just don't, I just can't, it's hard for me to fathom that a human being isn't affected by that. I know, super deep, right? Like, deepest thing I've ever said on the show.
Had a lot of those today.
So, but I do think, that that is part of the home field advantage part of it. You know, that you're kind of that referee. And look, that's why, I mean, you've heard Stephen Vogt talk about it for the last couple of days about what the crowd has meant to the team. And by the way, and then you get into the appreciation factor too for your own team, right? But Flacco talked about it last week in the opposite with booing. And he was like, you know, we kind of deserve to get booed. We couldn't really get things going. And I understand it. I'm a fan. You know, I used to sit in the stands. I would boo. But I think a professional athlete or someone mature enough to handle it and understand it's their occupation knows that booing is just another form of saying, I really care and that we want you to do better and you need to do better now. And that it's not always, again, like LeBron was like, I love being booed on the road because that's exactly what I want to bring out. Right? If you're booing me on the road, that's just as loud as a cheer at home. It's the same thing.
Yeah. It's a respect.
So that's where I think the home field advantage comes into play. It's the humanity of these games. Can we just stop? Can we talk about like passing gas or something? Because this show just got way too deep.
I just think the Lions have more answers than the Packers do. Like, I think the Lions, between Gibbs, between Montgomery, the offensive line play, and even on the defensive side of the ball, they just have more answers. And keep it locked in right here. I want to see if Jack Conklin plays, because that would be massive if they could get Jack Conklin out there. And then that way you're not doing two defensive tackles going up against Aiden Hutchinson and that pass rush of the Lions that has been really good for a good period of time. Like, those are the kind of things that I look at and I'm like going, okay, where can what the Lions do best be neutralized by the Browns? Like, if you could at least have only one backup tackle on the field, that is massive. So, I don't know.
Let me ask you this.
This offense has been so stuck in the mud.
So, here is a path to win. Do you think the Browns can hold this offense in Detroit that scored, 90 points in the last 2 weeks to under 16? Can the Browns defense hold the Lions to under 16? Yes or no?
Yes.
And you say that based on the Packers game. Isn't that why you're saying that?
I say that because you...
Because they only scored 13 points against the Packers.
I say that because if you can discombobulate Joe Burrow, you can discombobulate Jared Goff and get him, especially if you start getting people around his feet.
So the only way they win this game, it based on history and based on, you know, what we've seen over the last 21 games for the Browns, is somehow the Browns will do their typical offensive thing, score less than 20, and then if you think the Browns defense can be better against the Lions than the Packers was, all you need to do is hold them to less than 16 points. Because 13 is what they scored against Green Bay. It's just a theory. You tell me what your theory is. Does Joe Flacco still give you the best chance to win? It's another question. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps with Dan Menigan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, talking about the Guardians today. We'll get Back into that a little bit later at high noon when Paul Hoynes from Cleveland.com joins us. We'll do two keys and a lock. Tim May is going to join us at 12:40 to talk Ohio State, Washington. Plus, it's a gigantic weekend for college football, by the way. We'll get into that with Tim as well. Kevin Stefanski's press conference sometime in the 1 o'clock hour. And, of course, we'll end out the week as we like to with all of you, and we will give you the opportunity to tell us the score of this Browns-Lions game coming up on Sunday with Quick Predicts. Again, that is coming up at 1:40, so a lot of stuff straight ahead, and there's just so much to talk about. It's such a great weekend. Ryder Cup is also going on this weekend.
Hit a putt over 10 feet for the U.S., please. Sorry.
Wow, maybe it's coaching.
Sorry. Get Keegan on the phone. Somebody get Keegan on the phone. This is a butt kicking so far. Sorry, continue. I know you're teasing. My bad.
Was it the putter? Jackie Mason's putter, and I can't even say the word. In two, Caddyshack two. Didn't he have like the electronic putter?
I have never watched Caddyshack two.
Oh, dude, there's some pretty funny.
To watch Caddyshack two.
Why?
Just I like watch to live it. In a world where it doesn't exist.
Listen. It's not the end of the world if you are looking for absolute mind-numbing hour and a half. Watch Caddyshack too. There's some parts of that. Or was it Al Cervic that had the
electronic? Al Cervic had it, where it he lined did? Up, and yeah, it was Al Cervic.
Yeah, I couldn't remember. Oh, I guess it was Al. Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah, man,
I've never watched the second one, and I have no interest.
You know, they never did a follow-up on his injury after he got hurt, and they had to put Noonan in. Like, where was the sideline reporter on that? Talk about poor journalism.
What the MRI?
I don't understand. Help me with that. Does Joe Flacco still give you the best chance to win on Sunday? 216-474-0092. Dan.
Yes. Reason being behind it is the fact that I know this is going to aggravate and anger a lot of people. I don't think Dalen Gabriel is ready to step out onto the field and go up against a defense that's moving that fast.
How do we know he's not ready?
Because
how do we know? Seriously, I mean, look, I'm all in favor of keeping rookies a little bit. I'm in favor of that. But I continue. You said that just now. Daryl Ryder said that yesterday. How do we know Dalen Gabriel's not ready?
So what's happened is Jaden Daniels and CJ Stroud has broken all of our brains. I think that's what has happened. Because you've had two first-round rookie quarterbacks that have stepped onto the field and have found success very, very quickly. Now, C.J. Stroud has fallen off a little bit. Is that because of his offense? Is it because of the line? Look, that's for a Houston Texans show to knock out with, you know, the general John McClain at the helm of it, right? Mm-hmm. That's what those guys are for. So I can only look at it from a Browns angle. Typically, rookie quarterbacks are bad. Typically, rookie quarterbacks get beaten around a decent amount. Why? Because the offense is moving, or the defenses are moving so much faster. They're hiding their coverages better, and everything is so much harder than what they were dealing with in college, right? There's nobody on the other side who is going to be leaving in 6 months to go become an accountant or a doctor, right? Those guys are all gone. They're accountants, they're doctors. These are actual professional football players, the best of the best of the best. That's why I've always thought rookies should sit, and especially a guy like Dalen Gabriel probably needs to sit even a little bit more because the offense they were running in Oregon was a little bit predetermined, might be the right way to put it, of what Dan Lanning was doing there. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It worked for them. They won a whole bunch of games. That's the goal. So that's why I am hesitant to put that in there because rookie quarterbacks typically are bad, and it's really hard to evaluate the rest of a roster when you have a really, really bad quarterback. At least with Joe Flacco, I know there is a functioning NFL offense in there. You just have to find it. That's why I don't want Dalen Gabriel. That's why I think Joe Flacco is still the best for the roster. The questions that I have is, A, why are you not opening up and throwing it down the field? Is it because you don't trust your offensive line, or is it because your quarterback has hit the point that we have all hit in some point of our lives where either you're playing pickup basketball or you're playing tennis or you're playing some kind of sport that requires quick twitch reaction and your brain goes, okay, move right, and your body goes, and move right, and you now all of a sudden have that guy blow by you. We've all had that moment in our lives. I wonder if that's what we're in the middle of right now with Joe Flacco. But I still think he gives you the best chance to win. Because at least I have his brain. I may not have every single physical thing, but I've got his brain, and I think his brain can win you games.
I've got some stats I just don't want to share because I think they're kind of a jinx. You want them?
I don't believe in jinxes, so
right. Sure. What's Joe Flacco's record against the Lions?
Oh, I could care less what Joe Flacco's
record
Joe
Flacco's record against the Lions?
Probably a lot of wins to very little losses.
You want me to tell you how many times he's played them?
Four.
Close. Three.
Okay.
Looking at StatMuse here, by the way.
Well, be careful. StatMuse can get a little...
Yeah, I know. That's. You know what? Why do I feel that way?
Because it's often wrong.
Should I look somewhere else then?
Football Reference.
All right, let me go to Football Reference.
Yeah, Football Reference. I'll buy you time.
All right, sing.
The whole... My Joe Flacco thought is I wonder why they won't go back to what they did the first time around. And by that, I mean this offense that is major under center, heavy running game, heavy play action, deep shots down the field, and run the bootlegs, run all of that kind of stuff, and go, my defense is awesome. My defensive line can wreck lives. My defensive backfield can also wreck lives with Denzel Ward back there and Grant Delpit and Carson Schwestinger playing his tail off. Like, the defense is a menace to society. So why can't I live back in this world where I tell Joe Flacco, I want you to hit those deep, deep digs. I want you to hit those deep over routes. I want to hit those, you know, old Houston Texan Kubiak tight end game on top of it. I don't understand and would love to find out why Kevin Stefanski will not go back to that world. Because I think that world is still there and his best chance to win.
All right. It was right, just so you know.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. So he has played them three times. He is
1-2?
3-0.
There you go.
And.
Well, that, I mean, he's been in the league for 19 years.
Yeah, and, I know. And they barely play each other.
Well, and the Lions were a mess until Dan Campbell walked in. I mean, there was a Jim Schwartz season in between there, but they were a mess.
Just looking through all of his numbers. He's done something against them that he's only done against them and the Saints, as I look at this right.
Yes, not throw a pick?
Yes.
Okay.
Cowboys, yes. Yep, zero against Cowboys.
Got that going for you, which is nice.
Why do those things scare me?
Because the Lions have been a mess until Dan Campbell walked in the door.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right.
So all of those stats, it's part of the reason like I flush most of them when it comes to the Lions because, I mean, good golly, Matt Patricia was standing there for a long period of time. They've gone through so many coaches over there and so many different offenses that when Dan Campbell showed up, the first thing that happened was Matthew Stafford going, I don't want to be here anymore. I've dealt with too much of this. And he probably should have stayed. But, you know, again, a win-win situation. He got a Super Bowl with the Rams and Jared Goff found a starting gig with the Lions and has been successful.
By the way, if you have recently Googled any pictures of Matt Patricia, he's doing something now that I've never seen him do before.
Is it?
It's amazing.
Is it writing with the pencil on the laminated sheet? Because that'll break my brain until the end.
Nope. It's not it.
I don't know.
He's smiling. He's smiling at Ohio State. If you look at like pictures of him with the Patriots especially, he was never smiling. He's smiling. He was like, he was giddy.
So our social media mentions are powered by Scheib & Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You can always send a message to the show at CLE Talking Heads. You can get to me at the Sports Feller if you'd like, at Andy Baskin as well. Andy_Baskin?
Andy_Baskin.
There it is. All three of us, like PJ Adams this year. Look at the pass blocking stats. It's why Stefanski won't get back to the deep shots.
Yeah, why won't he?
I agree, but when you start moving the pocket and do those heavy bootlegs and all of that kind of stuff, it's kind of how you hide your offensive line. Is by doing all that stuff, especially if your offensive line's a little banged up and undersized. That's the stuff you do where you move the pocket and you move the quarterback. And yes, I know he's 40. Yes, I know mobility, Joe Flacco. But you could still run a bootleg and everything else in between there to help your offensive line out. It's how you can get those deep shots while still making it work. I know defenses are faster now than they were back in the Gary Kubiak Texan days, but that stuff still exists. It baffles me why they won't do it. It baffles me why they won't get under center. It's the Kevin Stefanski question I have.
Yeah, I don't know that. Has Kevin always? I don't remember Kevin being this conservative before.
I don't either. I really don't.
Now, being conservative last week gave him the opportunity to win. He put a lot of pressure on the offense at the end, but it gave him the opportunity to win.
We've gotten to this argument before. They have got to find explosive plays. They have got to go out there and they need to find passes. And maybe they find it in the run game. You know, Nick Chubb was a walking explosive play. Maybe Quinshon Judkins is the same way, where you've stumbled into the next version of this, where this guy is, you know, dying to have a 20-yard run, dying to have a 30-yard run. Maybe that is the next step in this offense, is getting him more comfortable so then that way you can have those play action shots. Maybe that's what you're looking for. I hope so. That's what I want, because you're not going to win games in the NFL with 3 to 5 yard passes. You're just not. You're not going to win games in the NFL if you can't find passes over 20 yards, 30 yards, 40 yards. Like, you're just not. If you get the dome put over you, you're done. So you need to run the ball so that you can take that dome off the top and then hit those deep shots. Either that, or you're just spending life playing, you know, essentially hoping that the ball doesn't get, you know, scoring 3 runs with the ball not getting past the pitcher's mound. I mean, that's essentially what they're trying to do. It's like, it's really, really hard to string together 13-yard drives, or 13-play drives, I should say.
All right. Let's come back. I want to talk a little bit more about this game, especially the quarterback part of it. And at what point do you hit the button? It's not an ejection button, but is there a point that could come as early as Sunday that you're going to Gabriel? Is that happen Sunday? I'm asking you. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Paul Hoynes coming up at noon. Tim May at 12:40. Kevin Stefanski press conference, 1 o'clock straight ahead. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
Keep an ear out all day long as I proceed to yell at golfers.
Can you answer me? I know we're going to get back into everything here, too. Talk about the Browns. Also, something Peyton Manning said earlier. We'll get to that in a second. But why do I read social media? What is my problem? I know. It's like looking outside the window. Right?
You know my quote. For those of you who don't know my quote, is I quote CM Punk. He put it beautifully. Social media is the window outside of my kitchen. Sometimes I like to open it and let the fresh air in and hear what the outside world sounds like. And when I've had enough, I shut the window.
Yeah.
Shut the window.
Yeah. Guardians attendance. Again, I'm just going to tell you this really quick. I'm not spending a lot of time on this. What did we say? 2 million?
According to Anthony Castrovince,
2 million. Last night, they crossed over 2 million probably. It's probably right. Yeah, they crossed over. So, Carl on the X. What's there to understand about the name change? The Dolans don't have a backbone. Did the Seminoles fold? No. Did the Blackhawks fold? No. My love for Cleveland baseball died with the Tribe. Go Mets. Look, I didn't want to change the name either. What do you want from me? I love baseball, so I got a team. Am I going to take it out on the guys on the field? I can't. Sorry. I mean, if you can't appreciate... if you can't appreciate Jose Ramirez, then I don't know what.
I'm not going to tell you
obviously
how to feel.
Obviously, you were probably a Lindor fan, so.
Not going to tell you how to feel. All I'll tell you is you probably don't have fingernails right now watching the Mets.
Sorry, go Mets. Go Mets. Yep. Wheel of regret for all those people. I'm never watching them again.
Hey.
My uncle's one of those guys. He watches, though. He knows. He was so mad.
I could tell anybody how to feel. You follow your own path. Even if I find your path to be silly, you follow your own path.
Hi. Certain things that drive people. Never mind. That was good. Does anyone remember how close it was to this baseball team moving to New Orleans or Florida? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm just making sure.
Well,
we play the games. Let me take a quick.
I can tell people how to feel.
Little quick Brown's phone call here. Let's take this. Adam is in Green. Adam in Green.
Fellas. No, I'm Adam in Green, yes.
Yeah, Adam in Green, yes.
Yeah. How are you guys?
We're good. Well, you know, did you ever contemplate how many cities around here are named after colors? Orange. Green.
Well, you know what? A fun fact is our colors are orange and black, and we live in Green. And I'm like, what in the world?
What is going on there?
Yeah, someone dropped the ball on
actually,
that one.
Actually, I have the reason if you'd like to know.
Go for it. I've never heard anything bad about Green. I just want you to know that. Have you ever heard anything bad about
Brown.
Green? Nothing. Never heard anything bad about it. Okay, go ahead.
No, Green is great. I love it. Yeah. I grew up in Kent, but I've been here for a while, and I love this place.
But Green's kind of Paul a suburb Brown, of Kent. Yes, go ahead. Yeah.
Paul Brown actually purchased the first jerseys for Green High School, and he was in Cincinnati, so he took after the colors of Cincinnati, and that's why they are orange and black.
That's interesting. That's why today that's cool. I am sporting my Kenston sweatshirt for Kent, the Bombers. And by the way, Dan Wright, the Kenston logo is the Dallas Cowboys.
That is also correct.
The only high school in America that has the right to use the Cowboys stuff because Tex Schramm sent them a letter and said, sure, go ahead, years ago. Unknown fact. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Anyways, so I wanted to talk about the Browns, and I wanted to talk about what I'm specifically going to look for this weekend and with examples from last weekend, and it's the play calling. So I want to give you two quick examples on why I'm watching the play calling and why I think that we are hindering ourselves based on what Kevin Stefanski says he trusts, and then when it comes to game time, he doesn't trust. So in the first half, actually the first drive of last game, we get to Green Bay's side of the field, the 46-yard line, I believe. It's 3rd and 7, and rather than throw the ball in an obvious passing situation, try and get a first down, or try and make a little bit more, at least a manageable or doable field goal, we run the ball, 3rd and 2. Okay, we play field position. I get that part of it. I get that's the game he wants to play. Now, the end of the half, 12 seconds left, again, we're driving, 3rd down, we're on the Green Bay side again, we're on the 42-yard line. Now, this is on the brink of, a makeable field goal, and my opinion, what should we do? We should try and run the ball there, get a few extra yards. There was only 12 seconds left. We had a timeout. We could kick a field goal, either make or miss. The half is going to be over, so we're not giving Green Bay the ball back. But what do? We take a long shot down the field and gets intercepted. So both of I think those should have been reversed. I think that play calling was opposite of what it should have been both of the times, and both of those times then left potential scoring opportunities off the table. And what it leads me to is trust. Kevin Stefanski says he trusts Joe Flacco and that he trusts Schmidt. And when it comes to game time and put in those situations, he's showing that he does not trust them because he did not set himself up either time for what would be a long field goal. And what ended up winning the game was a 55-yard field goal. So I want him, if he's going to say that he trusts these guys, I want him to play the game and call the game like he actually trusts these guys.
Adam, can I paint a different picture of the end of the game for you? I think that he trusted his offense, in particular David Njoku, to make that catch, to make it an easier.
I do like that call.
Okay.
That call was great, and I think that Joe Flacco was probably the only quarterback on the roster that could have manufactured that play and then spiked the ball with enough time, and I give him all the credit in the world.
Yeah.
But I still think that throughout the game, you know, if it wasn't for a blocked kick and an interception down to, the 4-yard line, we're talking a whole different story, and we're probably talking about a whole different quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, but you can play that same game with the first week of the season, too. If the defense tackles Joe Burrow or the referees throw a flag on the holding call that should have been a safety, they would have won that game, too. And I mean, we could do that till we're blue in the face. But I do think
we could.
Yeah. Adam, I think you bring up some great points, though. I agree with a lot of things you're saying, and I think you're right. Those are things we should watch for. Adam, thank you. Have a great weekend, my friend. Yep. Thank you.
You
too. That's what he said. Okay, where were we going? Oh, I thought you were going to say something. Yeah, no? Can we get into this conversation that we had yesterday with Andrew Siciliano about what Peyton Manning said, the 5 things he would change in football? We have time for that? I think we do. Okay, let's hop in. Did you hear any of this stuff on the Manning cast?
I did not. Peyton Manning was on Monday Night Football on the Manning Cast, which is always an enjoyable watch on ESPN2, audio courtesy of ESPN2 and Omaha Productions.
Rule number one, intercepted Hail Mary shouldn't count against quarterbacks at the end of the half. Number two, false start, offside equity within the 10-yard line. Number three, targets should not be an official statistic. Targets are one of the biggest reasons wide receivers get angry with quarterbacks. They should be outlawed. Number four, batted balls should be illegal. They should be banned. Nobody comes to a football game hoping to see someone bat down a pass. Last one, number five, cash payments on the field for late hits.
Okay, I love the last one. I think that's awesome.
Why, you should just have to pull your wallet out and start handing over hundreds? As a my bad?
They leave the blue tent up the entire game, but now everyone has a safe in there.
It's actually just a bank teller.
Oh, yeah, maybe they just put an ATM machine there. Somebody has to carry out a gigantic wallet, like one of those passport wallets, and everyone's got their debit card in there, right? And then they put an ATM on both sides. You can't tell me the bank sponsors wouldn't love every second of that, right? So rather than having the giant like replay machines they have down there or whatever, the heaters or whatever, who cares? The stuff they roll out there, they all roll out ATMs every week. That I thought was hysterical. The batted balls thing, I actually thought wasn't a bad thing. I what was his point? Do you think he was joking there?
I think his point is, I am a quarterback, and how do I get more points in this sport? All of those things that
I've
came down there.
I never once thought about the batted balls.
I am a quarterback, and how do I get it that I can score more points? That's all that went through my head through that entire thing. No batted balls. That screams quarterback. That screams I'm a quarterback, and it should be illegal for people to hit my ball out of the way.
All right, out of that, born.
What are you talking about?
That's
silly.
All right, born within the chemistry within my mind was like, hey, if a ball is batted at the line of scrimmage and it falls behind the line of scrimmage, why can't that be a fumble? Why can't that be a fumble? What's the difference between that and a forward pass behind the line of scrimmage?
Sure.
Do you hate the idea?
I don't hate it. I just don't think football needs more rules.
I don't think football needs more rules, but I love the NFL idea.
I'm trying to get rid of rules. Because if you want to get global appeal to this sport, you need to figure out how to explain it to people in less than 5,000 words.
Are we adding a rouge or no? CFL changed all these rules, but they kept the rouge. They must know, but there's still three downs. Go to four downs.
All right, so we'll you know, break down some of these false starts, all of that kind of stuff. I
didn't understand the equity. What was he trying to say there?
I don't get that one at all.
I didn't get it either.
Okay. So. Cash payments, okay, I'm fine with that.
That's hysterical.
One.
That's just funny.
I'm good with that. Like, we're good with a lot of stuff. The batted ball thing is just a quarterback trying to get more points. I'm okay if you want to do the arm punt, if you just want to have a category that's called arm punt, that's at the end of a half, end of the game where you're just flinging Hail Marys and hoping for the best.
We didn't bring this up. It's early on. So let's call it an arm punt.
Right.
So that way it's not an interception.
Yeah.
I love it. It's an arm punt.
Arm punt.
Dan Menigan. In the 27 years we've done this show together, that might be one of the finest that you've ever had. The arm punt.
That's been all around the internet for a while, of calling them arm punts, so yeah, I can't take all the credit for it. But
I'll give you credit.
No, it's...
Hey, did the USA actually win something? Sorry to...
I'm okay. Yeah, hey, I'm okay with that one. They've hit two putts. They're up two at the end of the fourth match. It's now 3-1 heading into the afternoon groups of the Ryder
Cup. Go back to Manning. Sorry. I didn't mean
to. To me, if we are changing rules in the NFL, the number one thing that I am doing is figuring out how to get rid of a chunk of these rules and make it that we can have a catch without it being 20 minutes and an hour long explanation of why something is a catch or isn't a catch. If you can figure out what a catch is, solve that first, then the rest of the sport may fall into place the way you want it to.
Don't you think it should just be possession?
I think it should just be possession, honestly.
Why we overthink this?
Oh, of course, yes.
Possession?
Of course, yes.
And maybe possession to a... And what defines possession? You've got to hold the ball to a full count.
If you want to increase offense in the sport, I'm even okay if you go, hey, let's go college.
Yeah,
possession, 1 foot in, let's go.
Yeah, why can't we go 1 foot?
If you want to put more points in this game, sure. That way it cleans it up a smidge. That's my whole thing.
Have you ever heard anybody complain about college football? Go, I don't understand why it's not 2 feet in.
The only thing in college football that drives me nuts is the fact that if someone's called for targeting, you flip over to something else because you know it's 20 minutes. before you finally get an answer if it was targeting or not. That's my only college football complaint.
I still, the game moves so fast. I don't know how you have time to even set up the target. Yeah, I understand there are times when you, if you, if you're taking more, it's almost like charging in hockey. If you take 2.5 strides, then you know that's charge, like the same thing. If you can be able to take a step and a half and lower your head into somebody, that, like, I get that. We'll talk about that some other time. All right, let's come back. You know who's going to join us? Join us? Yep. Hey, Hoynesy. Paul Hoynes, Cleveland.com. Your buddy, your pal, Uncle Hoynesy, coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.